The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Chuck it, turn off. 3 o'clock on the dot. You know what that means. It's time for Matt Lanta and the King. Yeah.
Na 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 na. Let's chuck it, turn off. Na 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 na. Chuck it, turn off.
Driving home, Atlanta is a traffic jam. But we got Chuck and Turn Off on the fan.
Love the whole man singing us in. Something fun he can do. He doesn't have much fun to call these days. Chuck and Chernoff as we crank it up in our 3 o'clock hour. Brought to you by This Stuff Matters. You can like and subscribe to This Stuff Matters, the podcast, posted at 680 The Fan's website, right under the podcast header, or at This Stuff Matters. .net. Why don't we start the 3 o'clock fun by saying hello to Charles Oliver?
Hey, Matt.
Hey, Chuck.
Can I give you some advice?
I like advice.
Get your nails, dude.
I probably need to.
Your feet look like you snatched dinner from a lake.
You're not wrong. I have some gnarly toes.
You look like your hot cousin with a bad feet.
Her feet are fine. I've never thought about my cousin being hot, but very nice of you.
Could I offer, by the way? Do what you want with your toes.
Right.
But you wear sandals a lot. You wear open, like, no toe-free shoes.
You want to let your dogs, if they're barking, you want to let them
not
out.
Not if they look like that.
Oh, no. Mine look like Jim Carrey out of...
It looked like you have cashews on the end of each of your toes.
It wasn't Carrey. It was the other guy in Dumb and Dumber.
Jeff Daniels?
Yeah, Daniels. You got to take a bandsaw to my toes. It's not a good look.
No.
You're not wrong. So the surprising news came out late in our show yesterday, right at the end of our program before the up-and-comer. Dylan Short took over, that the Braves had optioned both Vaughn Grissom and Braden Shoemake. And I loved seeing the conspiracy theories start cropping up. Trade. Because I thought, well, there's a trade. There's got to be a trade. Well, what happened? Why are they doing this? Are they trying to manipulate service time? And then you realize, well, no, the Braves stopped doing that a long time ago. And they actually bring up guys early. Here's Spencer. Here's Michael Harris. Here's all these other guys. And then they give them new deals, so you don't have to worry about the arbitration. So that wasn't it. It wasn't as if Vaughn or Braden didn't perform well. Vaughn had 3 hits yesterday. Grissom was hitting .371 with 6 RBI and 2 stolen bases at the time he was informed you're getting sent down. Braden equipped himself very well, hit .323. Defensively, the reports were very good. And as of Monday, and I know Domino wanted me to break this out, and I did, Snit said one of those two guys, we're going to end up taking North with us. The other will go to Gwinnett. And I don't know what changed in 48 hours, or maybe nothing changed, and this was the plan as spring moved along, but Orlando Arcia will open as a starting shortstop.
Two young shortstops looking for their first full-time opportunity at the big league level. Both won the job. Neither of them is on the major league roster today. Now, yesterday there were 10 days. Now there's 9 days to the opener. I didn't have this on the list of scenarios, but I'm not the GM, so I don't know. So I'm not the manager, by the way. Let me take that back. I'm not the manager. This is not just Alex. This is Walt Weiss saying this and Snit saying that. And
but it's Alex's decision, I believe, ultimately on the roster.
And the transactions.
Alex will be on tomorrow with Nick and Chris at 11:05. Here's one thing I don't believe. Like, anybody trying to frame this as they were worried about losing Adey Adrianza and the depth. I'm sorry. Adey Adrianza's had a nice few moments. Like, he had a World Series moment. Or no, He had an NLCS moment against the Dodgers before the Rosario home run. Like, Adey's been good here. You could find Adrianza anywhere. So
you don't make a roster move based around him.
You don't send those two guys down.
No.
Ultimately, this is just not a huge deal. Opening day again, we wait so long for it that we think the opening day roster is the end all be all. It's the playoff roster that we should care about the most. There's a chance 15 days after the season starts, Vaughn is here. Or Braden's here. Or if somebody gets hurt, one of those guys is here. Or there is some chance, although I don't buy it much, because I think the more Orlando plays, the less you'll like his bat. But there's a chance he equips himself good enough and they keep him there for his defense and deal with the bat. All those scenarios are on the table, yeah. But I don't know which one's going to play out.
And this is as simple. I mean, sometimes it literally is just the math. 162 games, Matt. What was it? Dale Murphy played every game for like 7 straight years.
He did.
And I bet you every one of those seasons, he had one other teammate who played at least 160 games. And a lot who played 150. So there weren't a whole lot of roster spots needed because pretty much here are eight, and here's a pinch hitter, and here's a pinch runner, and here's a glove guy, and hell, let's go north. Mm-hmm. And then you'd bring up like 5 or 6 guys during the year, but that would be it. Then you go back to the original 25. That's not been Major League Baseball in 25 seasons. I still am saying it's 9 days to the opener. This isn't set.
Could be right. I think everything's on the table. All of it could, like, right when I saw the news yesterday, I thought, was there a trade coming? I don't know. We'll wait and see. Again, Alex Anthopoulos tomorrow, 11:05 a.m., gets grilled by Domino and Cellini here on The Fan. Will you dedicate some time tonight to the WBC final?
Absolutely.
So Team USA and Japan will battle for the WBC championship tonight. It's finally a chance for Mike Trout or Shohei Ohtani to play a big game, which is awesome for them. But the crowds have been so nuts. Last night's finish with Japan was insane. The TV ratings have been good. My only concern about tonight is it's on FS1 and not Fox, and I don't know why. Like, I thought tonight would have been one of the better TV ratings baseball has seen.
Allie McBeal reunion?
I don't think so.
Party of Five?
I just don't know if FS1 would ever return the numbers that baseball would want. So, all right, let's get to some Falcon news.
I said they're not a whole lot invested in this, though. It's not like there's giant rights fees compared
I know. The Falcons assigned free agent corner Mike Hughes last night. Hughes, first-round pick in 2018 of the Vikings. Played for Detroit last year, started 6 games for them. Played in Kansas City 2 years ago, started 5 games for the Chiefs. So 11 games started last 2 years. He'll come in and battle, it looks like, as he said, for the slot corner, which is going to be a big deal. The Falcons have now had to replace Isaiah Oliver.
They signed Cornell Armstrong again, didn't they?
The great Cornell is bad for depth. That's depth. So the hope is...
No, he's for depth.
I'm sorry?
Mike Hughes is for depth.
No, I think Mike Hughes is going to battle a lot more. He started 11 games last 2 years. I think it's going to be Terrell if Casey Hayward's here, and then Hughes for the third corner spot. It's going to be... Doesn't mean D. Alford can't win it or they won't draft another guy. I think Hughes is in that mix to battle for some of that playing time.
Okay, I haven't looked at this. I'm going to bet you... BJ! I'm going to bet you, Matt, over the past 2 seasons, the 5 games and the 6 games he started, they were at least November 1 after for 2 teams that didn't go to the playoffs injuries.
Well, the Chiefs.
Let's say Cardinals.
No, Chiefs and Lions.
It was late in the season and injuries is what I'm going to say.
Boo, Chuck. Boo, boo, boo. Falcons also announced the signing officially of Matt Collins, who now joins the offensive weaponry for Desmond Ridder. And we got the numbers on Jesse Bates' contract. And I've told you guys, the salary cap it's an idea. It's not something you have to follow because everything contracts different. Bates's deal is really structured so the Falcons can do more in year one. Right now, his cap hit for this upcoming season is only $6.5 million.
Ooh, that's about $14 million below average.
It escalates to $18.5 million in 2024 and then $19.5 million after that. He's $36 million guaranteed this season, $36 million guaranteed overall, $23 million in this upcoming year. But it's in practicality a 2-year, $36 million deal. After that, they have some wiggle room to get out if they choose. So again, it gives them more that they can do. One surprising thing just popped that the Falcons have activated Eddie Goldman, who they had signed from the Bears, the defensive tackle from the
big giant dude.
Yeah, the retirement list. So maybe another part of the interior of the line.
Oh, that's right. That he had been acquired and then retired.
He signed and then like a week later
that's
dipped.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, I want to play for you some audio. Todd McShay became public enemy number one around here and in a lot of places. Todd's job is not one that a lot of fans are going to go, wow, I like the info, because sometimes he's giving critical information on your favorite players. And Todd did that about Jalen Carter and specifically mentioned the character concerns with Jalen. And that was well before the tragic car accident in January. So McShay was on the Ryan Russillo podcast. And he reiterated some of the character concerns with Jalen he referenced months ago.
There were questions about his character. And I specifically said, listen, I'm just saying this, like, I've got him as the number 2 overall player right now. I think I had him going number 5 to Seattle in the mock draft. And I said, if he falls a little bit, it's because there are some character issues. And like, broad picture, like, work ethic, practice habits, being late for meetings, things like that, and some other stuff. So you add all that together, and now you've got to really do some digging.
So work ethic, practice habits, being late to meetings and things like that. I'm not going to dismiss any of that. That matters. That stuff says a lot about you. But let's not pretend this hasn't happened in sports to uber-talented people for decades and decades and decades. Rules are different for everybody. I don't want to bore you by giving you all the details of Jimmy Johnson cutting a guy who fell asleep, and then when asked if Emmett Smith fell asleep in a meeting, what he would do? He would wake him up. Jalen Carter's talent is what Georgia dealt with, and it was good enough to be a part of a championship-winning team year after year, and some NFL team is going to have to figure that one out too. How can we lean on him to get him on time to a meeting? How can we make sure that he works harder in practice? These are things that you trust your culture, your coaching staff, his teammates in. Here's Todd McShay, who talked about gathering the info that he put out on Jalen Carter and how he does it with other draft prospects reporting the info.
I have seven sources, and I have a full page of notes, seven different conversations, seven different sources on Jalen Carter. And this is prior to the incident. And it's my job to let fans know, like, if a player is going to move up or down the board because of an injury, character concerns, whatever it is, I feel like it's my job to put it out there. I always handle it with kid gloves. I never get into specifics when I think it's something that would embarrass the player.
Okay, I respect it. I didn't think it was a big deal what he said initially. People got on him because he wasn't going to release info that he had. I told you at the time I thought it was from a Georgia coach or somebody behind the scenes that gave him that info, because that doesn't come anywhere. He just said, I have seven sources. I have all these people I turn to. And it turned out he was right with his information, to the point where there might be NFL teams scared the hell away from Jalen because of some of the work ethic and some of the issues that he has.
I think that the Georgia fans reacted back in the day on Todd McShay. I think NFL teams would be overreacting today.
I would agree on both those statements, and I like how your voice just went down.
Yep.
Here's one more from Todd McShay, who talked about what you get with Jalen on the practice field as opposed to the games.
With Jalen specifically, I spent 95% of my time talking about how great of a player he is on the field. I even emphasized, yeah, you might not get in practice what you want to get in practice, but that dude will play his ass off for you. And he does every down when he's on the field. And so there's something to be said for that.
We talk about practice, not the game, not the game.
If somebody was thinking, and it's fine if you were, by the way, I don't know if I believe that. Kirby's not going to put up with somebody being late to meetings and lazy in practice. Now, you're right about that. Kirby's not going to put up with it. Here's the difference. It's the coach who makes a federal freaking case over and stops practice. Late again? Oh, the 84 guys care about their team. That's not how you do it. Jalen, come walk with me. All right. And everybody else, the other 84 guys, sees Jalen talking to the coach after practice, and they don't see Jalen for about a half hour. And they realize, well, it probably got handled somehow. There's a way for the coach to handle the bad behavior that suddenly his response doesn't become the story. And so you're right if you're thinking, Kirby put up with that? No, Kirby put up with it to the point that he talked to Jalen and did whatever the hell he could do to preserve the discipline while also getting his best player on the field.
That's the thing. Get to Saturday.
That was it.
When I get to Saturday, I get a generational
talent.
Preserve
the discipline. That's all it is. Just preserve the discipline.
This is the millionth example of there are different rules for everybody. That's just life. You're a more talented singer. You're a more talented football player. You're a more talented producer. You get different rules. Jalen, I don't know how many times he was late to practice or meetings. Or dogged it on Wednesday, I have no idea. But if he did, he wasn't going to be treated the same way that the third team corner was. Like, we act like this is something new. And Kirby got the best out of him in the way that it led to two championships.
Yeah. I'm sure, like Mike Tomlin, I've said, I marvel now. The fact, in the moment we didn't know this, he got Antonio Brown to act like a normal functioning human for like 8 years.
Normal enough.
And I bet that Mike Tomlin, there were like twice a week, he had to realize, I'm picking my battles, and he's acting like a relatively normal human, so I'm not going to make a big deal. He's 5 minutes late.
It's time to wing it. Presented by WNB Factory. Serving up Atlanta's best wings and burgers with over 60 locations. Find yours at WNBFactory.com.
We'll take your Winging It idea answers today at the Harrah's Cherokee Casino's Twitter feed. Who's the best play-by-play voice in sports today?
There's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos. It will be a home run.
It's not Tom Brenneman, although Tom,
I don't know if I'm going to be putting on this headset again.
Tom was good. He was good, and then he had an open mic. I'll go with the guy I mentioned yesterday. I think Kevin Harlan is, simply put, the best guy. I wish Harlan, instead of being on Westwood One on Monday night, I wish Harlan did Monday Night Football. No offense to Joe Buck. I think Harlan's better than Buck. I think he's better than Nance. I think he's better than Michaels. I think Harlan's best guy going.
I'll go with a good friend of ours. We know him well, have for years. Saturday afternoon, CBS.
Gary Nessler.
I'm going to say Brad Nessler. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Gary Nessler.
Gary is Brad's Eagle.
Good friend of ours.
It's his Eagle cousin. Good old Gary. No, Brad's great. I love Brad. If you're listening, we love you.
He's fantastic, man. He's still, gosh.
Still got his fastball. Great. Love Brad. And he looks great. Great hair. Dressed beautifully. Wonderful man. Brandon Joseph, who's the best play-by-play voice in sports?
Gus Johnson, easy.
Gus is wonderful.
Ow!
You like that video that popped of him hitting the vape pipe? He was on the sideline.
Gus needs to get in the mood.
Right? I love it. Dan Matthews, best play-by-play
voice. Let's go with our good buddy, Tom Hart.
Tom is very creative. He has a different spin on things, different calls, more sort of out-of-the-box calls than you would expect from other play-by-play voices. I love it. Very good call. Brian Latravius Hoyt, who's the best play-by-play voice?
Iron Eagle. And I thought it was Iron Eagle for the longest time, but it's Iron Eagle.
Hop out.
This is porn name.
Iron is very, like, sound fundamentally. I just don't know that he gives me enough in the excitement.
Do you think any Georgia fan would say Scott Howard?
Not after Larry. That's not Scott's fault.
That's the problem.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's a tough go, man.
It's not his fault.
Because everybody would have said Larry.
Larry was, again, not technically proficient, but just a wonderful sound.
And I agree with you.
That's right.
Iron Eagle, a technically perfect, it's an instructional video. It's fantastic. And I'm like, I need some personality.
I'll tell you who's underrated doing play-by-play. Chuck Oliver.
Protection, 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 protection.
So you saw the protection thing. And then the other thing you do is.
Here we go.
You tell the audience when you're about to see the replay and it's on radio.
When you watch this replay.
Okay, on radio, they're like, Chuck, I'm looking at the radio. You tell me what the replay looks like.
It's for the simulcast.
When you see this replay. That's a play-by-play man
The old CSS simulcast days.
That's right. Send your answers to the Harris Cherokee Casino's Twitter feed. We will get an inside perspective on the Falcons and their interest or lack thereof in Jalen Carter in less than 15 minutes. Coming up next, though, I'm going to hope. This is just an opinion.
Never trust straight people.
Wow.
Don't trust them.
How about that, Chuck?
Can't trust them.
Feels like a blanket statement.
Not gay people, though.
You made that clear the other way, but thank you. I'm going to hope this is just an opinion.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
Why do I do it? Why? I would try to hold the audience with a big, wonderful tease, and we're doing the Kanye and the... Nah. Because if it's a fact, the Falcons have some splaining to do. I don't know why I did that thing with my voice. We'll talk about it next. Chuck and Chernoff on the Fan. Thanks for spending your Tuesday right here. We're on AM, trying to make AM cool again.
Is this Avril Lavigne?
No, this is Pink.
Oh.
That is our goal in 2023. Can we make AM cool again? Vinyl came back. Why not AM? And FM, kind of. We're there at 93.7, depending on where you are. The app, though, man, that B travels anywhere, anytime.
That app is like the herp. You just take it everywhere you go.
It's the official slogan. The 3 o'clock hour with Chuck and Chernoff. It's all brought to you by This Stuff Matters. Like and subscribe to This Stuff Matters, the podcast posted at 680 The Fan's website, right under the podcast header, or at thisstuffmatters.net. We'll have a special guest join us in a minute. Covers the Falcons, a friend of the show, Josh Kendall, to talk about Jalen Carter. Now, one quick note, Mike Garofolo, NFL insider, said the Falcons are planning to host veteran defensive lineman Calais Campbell on a free agent visit this week. They're going to sign every D-tackle in the league just so they don't have to take Jalen Carter. Speaking of Jalen, let me read you something from Josh Kendall at The Athletic. I want to ask Josh about this when he joins us, because this is one of two things. Either this is a Josh opinion or this is Josh reporting, and I'm going to ask him which one it is. But Josh wrote about Jalen Carter. And he says the biggest concern about Jalen in the NFL circles aren't the legal issues. They're about work ethic, and those questions have only intensified. He continues, it was once a pipe dream that Carter would fall to Atlanta at 8. Now it looks likely. And it looks equally as likely the Falcons will let him go right by if he does. He finishes by writing, Atlanta fans need to start getting their minds wrapped around the fact that Carter is not coming to Flowery Branch. I'm going to guess if he had to do over, if it's just an opinion, the word fact probably wouldn't have been there.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is Josh's stuff, because I'm going to hope the Falcons are either doing misdirection by putting stuff out, or once again, they do the worst job ever of keeping secrets, which I've talked about coming out of Flower. But there are so many leaks, faucets in that place with information coming out. Let me say this about Jalen, and I'm a broken record of sorts. I don't think Jalen will be on the board at 8. So a lot of this is going to be wasted airspace that we do. But by the unlikely chance he's there and the Falcons pass on him for the reasons that we just played from Todd McShay, or you just heard me read to Josh Kendall, late to meetings, some work ethic stuff, some practice stuff, you're letting a potential game wrecker who was good enough to be the best player on one of the best defenses college football has ever seen to help win championships in back-to-back years, and it just so happened he played a stone's throw away from Flowery Branch. He didn't just play a significant role. He was the best player on that defense, and I'm sorry the kid isn't a team captain, and I wish all great players were, because if you drafted him, you would have no concerns about them. The only reason that Jalen would ever be available at 8 is because of his imperfections, and the process of drafting is nothing but an imperfect process. Chuck, I'm sure Troy Andersen and Arnold Ebiketie are great dudes. Neither one has the ceiling, the upside of Jalen Carter. If it was good enough for Kirby and Glenn Schumann, and it was good enough for Will Muschamp, they found a way to make it work. This is what I would say to Arthur Smith. Trust your culture. You guys keep telling me about your culture. Trust your culture. Trust your coaches. Trust your teammates. Nolan Smith went on the record and said he's one of the best teammates I've ever had. I don't know if he's just blowing smoke or he means it. But if you trust your culture and you trust the room and you trust the leaders, you don't pass up on a talent like this because you're worried about him being late to practice and you're worried about him being late to classes. A million guys have done it before him. A million will happen after him.
Yeah, this is almost like he's going to have the like the first penalty of the NFL season is Jalen Carter penalized 10 draft spots. There is a big to make here, but there are, you know, I say all the time, I don't need 53 team captains. Go through sports history, whether it's Barry Bonds or Lenny Dykstra or Paul Pierce, or I'm not even a hockey fan. You remember Ty Domi?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think the guy had any skill. He was in the NHL for like 2 decades because he was basically an a-hole.
Yeah.
Rasheed Wallace. I remember Rasheed Wallace smoking a bunch of weed and getting a bunch of technicals. I don't remember him being a bad guy, but we all talked about bad guy character concerns. I'm like, he smoked weed and yelled at refs. So what? He busted his ass and was a great player. We really prioritize some weird things sometimes. We really, really, really prioritize weird stuff.
I'm not going to say those things aren't important, but to me, it's mitigated with the talent. It always is that way. It's always going to be that way till the end of time. And when this dude, who might be the best player in the draft, is a legit game wrecker, you don't skip. You don't pass. You trust that you can figure it out and your culture is going to get it right.
Go look at the top 10 players, most technical fouls in NBA history. Do you know who it is? Karl Malone, Gary Payton, Charles Barkley, Kobe, Shaq, Matt. What are all these guys have in common?
A lot of them are champions.
Hall of Famer. Kevin mm-hmm. Durant and Russell Westbrook are on the list currently. They're moving up the list. They're Hall of Famers. Like, literally, the top 9 in NBA history, biggest on-court a-holes, because that's basically a technical foul. Every one of them's a Hall of Famer. Every last one. I don't care about this stuff.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves. And people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
All right, let me bring in Josh Kendall. Covers the Falcons for The Athletic, the beat writer. Good follow as well on social media to keep up with all things Falcons going on. He's kind enough to join us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. Josh, we appreciate you joining us. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
A lot of ground to cover here and a lot on Jalen Carter, Josh, that I wanted to pick your brain about. First of all, reading your blurb in The Athletic about Jalen, I was trying to interpret whether it was an opinion or whether it was reporting, and I want to make sure I get it right, because the last part of what you wrote was Atlanta fans need to start getting their minds wrapped around the fact that Jalen Carter is not coming to Flowery Branch. Is that opinion or is that reporting?
If I had it to do over again, if I could edit it right here on the air, I would change fact to idea. Because what I want Atlanta fans to understand is that this might not happen. This is not a shoe-in. If I knew for a fact, if I was quote-unquote reporting that the Atlanta Falcons are not taking Jalen Carter, that would have been a story unto itself. So what I wanted to do, now, let me say this. I don't think the Falcons are taking Jalen Carter. I don't think that because of things I can see with my own eyes and sort of things that feel obvious to me and things I've heard. But I have not nailed down that fact enough to say I am reporting the Falcons aren't going to take Jalen Carter. I just don't want Falcons fans sitting there on Thursday night, first round of the draft, and Jalen Carter is slipping and slipping and slipping, and it gets to 8, and everybody's like, hallelujah, here comes Jalen Carter, because I think Jalen Carter is going to slip to 8, and I think he's going to slip right on by past the Falcons, and I just want Falcons fans to understand that's a real, real, real strong possibility, in my opinion.
Okay, so let's follow up on that. If we assume there's nothing else legally that comes from the crash, and what we've heard, and we're only trying to piece some of this together, maybe you have more on character concerns from being late to some classes or practices, or who knows, maybe more. What am I missing that seems so egregious that we haven't heard from other talented kids, and this might be the most talented kid in the draft? What am I missing?
Okay, so let me sort of deconstruct the question a little bit, if I can. I want to take the traffic accident out of it. It's a tragic situation. I hate it for everybody involved. It's a poor decision by a college kid. I say that as a college kid who made poor decisions. I mean, I hate it, but I don't think NFL teams are holding that against him. I also do not like using the word character. Character has become such a catch-all to be, anything becomes a character concern. And then some people say, well, he's got poor character and you're a bad human being. I don't want to suggest any of that. I'm saying that there are work ethic and being prepared on Sunday afternoon questions about Jalen Carter in NFL circles. Those questions existed before all this stuff popped up in Indianapolis. And those questions were significantly deepened, I think, at Georgia's Pro Day. So let's take the traffic accident out of it. Let's don't use the word character. Let's talk about the investment that these teams are making in players, particularly players who are taken in the top 10. And if you have any concern about how available and prepared that player is going to be 17 Sundays a year, that's a tough investment to make.
I don't disagree. And Josh Kendall's with us, beat writer for the Falcons. I guess the counter would be, I'll use Kirby's words, and then I'll use Todd McShay as an example. So Kirby talked about his generational talent, and you saw that on the field in the highest level of college football, not the NFL, but we all assume the SEC is the next closest thing. And on those Saturdays, Georgia got the most out of him, whether that was Kirby, Will Muschamp, Glenn Schumann, his teammates. Then Todd McShay, who was the first to bring up the word you and I just threw around, which was character concerns. But McShay came on a podcast this week and said, let's be clear, though. Like, the guy might have practice questions or work ethic stuff, but on those Saturdays, man, that guy worked harder than anybody. He came back from two injuries that he didn't have to, knowing his draft stock was already solidified. You don't think the Falcons or a bunch of NFL teams think, in the right culture with the right coaches, we can get the best out of this talented guy?
I think that a lot of coaches think that. I also think a lot of coaches have drafted a lot of – have made a lot of poor draft decisions because they thought that very thing. And I think that some coaches are figuring – I mean, as an NFL coach, you really need to remove your ego from the evaluation process, because a lot of teams have gotten in a lot of trouble by saying, I can coach this guy better than everybody else who's coached him. I can get more out of him, whether it's technique, whether it's motivation, whatever it is. I'm the guy who can unlock this guy. I think more coaches have gotten themselves in trouble doing that than have made themselves money. You know, Kirby, I know nothing about what goes on inside of the Georgia program, but I do know that Kirby Smart is invested in his players getting drafted as high as they possibly can. But you just wait until the week after the draft and all the social media posters the Bulldogs put out saying, you know, 5 first-round picks, 14 in the top 4, blah, blah, blah. Number 1 overall pick, Jalen Carter. Kirby Smart would love nothing more than that to happen, and he can push that down the downstream to every other recruit that he's got. So Kirby has a vested interest in selling Jalen Carter stock. So I'm not going to put a ton of weight on that. I would also argue that, and again, I'm watching this out of the side of my eye. I am not the expert here, but I would argue that they did not get 15 great Saturdays from Jalen Carter. They got some great plays, some plays that make you understand why a lot of people think he is the best football player in this draft. I'm not sure they got 15 great Saturdays.
So that's start to finish. I would say that's subjective, but there's no need to go down the rabbit hole in that. But I would tell you, Josh, watching that team for 3 years with that defense, he's the best player on that defense. And I know that's not what we're talking about, the talent of it. So let's go back to the Kirby part of it. Arthur Smith calls Kirby Smart, and what you said, I would agree publicly. Kirby, it's a recruiting tool to say my kid got picked first or I had 5 first-round picks. But there's also a communication that Kirby wants to have with these coaches in the NFL that – they don't want to lose trust in what he's saying because he's just blowing smoke. So Arthur Smith or any of the coaches call Kirby, not the stuff he says publicly, and, hey, shoot me straight on Jalen. If Kirby says to them, yeah, it's a rocky road, but the kid's worth it and the talent's there and you could get it right, would Arthur Smith listen to that word and would that convince the Falcons any differently?
He might, absolutely. I don't know. I don't know how much he is swayed by Kirby or any of those guys and what they tell him versus other bits of intel he grabs. And, you know, this is a difficult – I'm not saying that this is an easy thing or this is a shoe-in. I mean, because I'm – you know, put yourselves in Arthur Smith and Terry Fontenot's shoes on, again, that Thursday night. Jalen Carter is still on the board at number 8. And you're sitting there – again, this is just hypothetically because I want to paint this picture. You're sitting there thinking, this is the best football player in this draft, but I have some concerns. We're entering year 3, a pivotal year 3 in – kind of maybe not make or break, but sort of make or break and whether or not we're going to be here anymore. Do we pick this guy who can be dominant at a premier position in the NFL and a position of need for us? Or are we concerned that we're going to end up with egg on our face? It's not an easy decision. It's just not.
Josh Kendall's with us, Falcons beat writer from The Athletic. He's on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. And I agree. This is like, I think you framed it correctly. They might not be battling for a job in year 3, but if year 3 doesn't go well, all of a sudden year 4 is a very tenuous situation. And I'm going to compare apples to oranges, and it's not fair, but I'm going to do it anyway. Because you said it's more about the work ethic, right? And it's more about some of the things, the red flags on Jalen. So it's probably, again, not fair of me to do this, but I'm just confused about some of the decision-making when it comes to the type of players the Falcons remove and have on their board, right? They were all gung-ho, as much as they'll deny it, on Deshaun Watson, and that was going to be a done deal if the Browns didn't come in with the Godfather offer. What is their decision-making year to year on the type of players that they will cross off or they will say we want being a part of our franchise?
Well, I think that I can't give you the answer because I can't get inside their head. I think a lot of people have drawn the parallels, have said, why yes, Deshaun Watson, why no, Lamar Jackson? In my opinion, the Lamar Jackson decision is strictly a business decision. The NFL and its owners are just not willing – 31 of the NFL owners, I should say, are not willing to play ball on guaranteed, fully guaranteed contracts. And if you're talking about a fully guaranteed contract, they don't even want to get in the room with you for fear that they somehow shed some legitimacy on the idea that they might ever in the future give a fully guaranteed contract. So I think for me, that's the separator between Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson. In general, you know, I think that the Falcons are looking for a certain type of work ethic. I mean, you look at the guys that they've paid, the really paid, Jake Matthews, Grady Jarrett, and Chris Lindstrom. Now, defensive tackle and left tackle are premier positions in the league. Right guard is not. They just made Chris Lindstrom the highest paid guard in the NFL. A lot of the nerds and the analytics people and the numbers people will say, you are silly to pay premium money for guard. The Falcons have said, this is a guy who does it 7 days a week the way we ask him to do it, with no wavering in that. And we're going to reward him in that. So you may not think it's a premium position. You may not think we're getting that much value on a Sunday afternoon, but we think we're getting that type of value Monday morning until Sunday night. So those are the types of players that they want to be bringing in, that they want to be rewarding. Caden Ellis, you know, that's not a guy whose name we heard a lot 2 weeks ago. Anybody, nobody was talking about Caden Ellis 2 weeks ago. This guy's had about half a season of standout NFL play in 4 years. You know, for me, that's the guy that I'm circling to say, is, you know, are they targeting the right guys?
And it's a fair conversation. So let's finish up with this, Josh, because I don't know. I'm not there as much as I used to be. I'm removed from it. But the Deshaun thing a year ago felt like Arthur Blank had his fingertips involved in it. Let's jump the line. Let's go get this. I don't know that Arthur would care enough about the public relations pushback, but there is also the angle, if we take it back to Jalen, of if they don't take him, he ends up 9 to the Bears or 10 to the Eagles or wherever he goes, and he turns into the star that the talent is, and you passed on the Georgia guy who was the star, and you had the need, and like the 15 things that could have fit. Boy, it's tough coming back from that one again.
It is. It goes back to what I'm saying. It's a difficult situation, and it's hard when you're running these organizations. It's got to be hard not to hear all those voices and hear all those very same things in your ear as you're making a decision. But I mean, I've seen Arthur Smith stand at a podium half dozen or more times and talk about the need to remove all of that from your decision-making, the need to remove emotion from your decision-making, the need to see things clearly and without all these other factors. The fact that Jalen Carter went to Georgia, that shouldn't matter to the Atlanta Falcons.
Shouldn't matter at all.
I understand the history of this, and I understand why it does, and I understand why they're hearing that voice in their ear. But if they're going to be true to what they say their decision-making process is, they're not going to be thinking about that one way or the other.
The good news for me is I just get to second guess whatever they do. I'm not held responsible if they get it right or wrong. Josh does, like I said, a phenomenal job. Check him out at The Athletic and on social media, on Twitter, is a great follow. Josh Kendall there does a phenomenal job. Josh, it's a pleasure. Thanks for the time. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks for having me.
All right, coming up next, I want to live in a world where this seemingly impossible scenario exists for Georgia and Georgia Tech fans very soon. We'll talk about that next.
Army with Harmony.
Chuck and Chernoff on your radio dial. Making FM and AM.
Day, drop a load.
The most popular duo in radio.
Like and subscribe.
I mean, everybody just considers FM the only thing. We're still on AM. Bringing it back like vinyl. With you until 6 o'clock, and then the Front Row's Audio Fun Bag with the up-and-comer, the rising star, the next generation of 680 The Fan talent, Dylan Short.
I've got Penn State over A&M.
Still going over his brackets?
Indiana over Kent State.
When does he stop doing that?
Louisiana over Tennessee.
I guess we'll listen tonight at 6 to find
TCU
out.
TCU losing to whoever it is, whether it's ASU or Nevada.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you. Dylan Short follows us tonight. I hope you're going to follow us on the road. Atlanta Sports Trips has done Blowed Up with 5 new trips that we've made available that you can book now at atlsportstrips.com. And I will tease the audience with not one, but 2 more we're about to go live with in the next day or 2. Let me highlight one trip because I know, Chuck, you want to be there. Big Apple, Dirty Birds, Jets.
The Falcons came to New York, but went down tonight in defeat 24-16.
Why are you doing that?
Falcons jumped out to a 16-0 lead.
No.
Before the Jets stormed back against the Falcons reserves.
Hey, hang on. There's something called implied endorsement. He may have to pay
Okay, but
like Matt may have to pay D-Led.
I'm not. I didn't play anything.
But Matt may be on the hook because of an implied endorsement. You may cause Matt to have to pay.
Thanks, Hoyt. Way to go. All I'm trying to do is promote a trip. Big Apple.
And pulled out the victory, 24-16 here at MetLife Field
Stadium. It could be the Birds and the Jets against Aaron Rodgers. Date to be announced when the NFL puts it out. But that trip is up at atlsportstrips.com. I love New York City. I'm hoping it's somewhere around the holidays, but we'll find out when the schedule comes out. So five trips available, three trips with the dogs, a Bravos trip to Chicago, Dirty Birds to New York, and two more to be announced. You can go see all of them at atlsportstrips.com, and you can reserve your spot with a $99 deposit to guarantee your space on the trip.
Please explain the benefits,
Saturday night meet and greet? Is that what?
For the record, I love D-Led.
Night meet and greet.
I'm not pressing the buttons. That's Hoyt. I'd love to have D-Led. That man's a legend. Coach Led, I'd be thrilled.
Tell us a little bit about the copyrights and making the songs for your daughter's wedding.
That was to Dean Pease. And how about, Hoyt, you stop being you for a second? Did you happen to notice where your beloved Auburn Tigers were playing this weekend?
They were in Birmingham.
You see who else was there?
Alabama was in the night session.
So not only were two teams in the same state in the NCAA tournament, but two were in the same building playing in the land of Oz that we in the state of Georgia look at as the NCAA tournament. There is a world, folks, and it's out there, and I can almost grab it, where Power 5 teams routinely, sometimes in the same state, sometimes in the same city, get to play in the tournament. And what kind of world would it be if I told you in the future that Georgia and Georgia Tech fans could hop in the car for an NCAA tournament weekend, and just by happenstance, both teams are playing in the same building.
Hop in the car, take a half day. Take a half day and go to both games.
That's what I mean.
Yes.
But driving distance.
Yes.
Like, they're in Greensboro. They're in Jacksonville. They're in Birmingham. They're somewhere, Chattanooga. They're in Nashville. That is a world that exists out there. So I was doing some math, and I'm sure I've missed a couple of these. But for instance, in this tournament alone, Kansas and Kansas State both made it. Illinois and Northwestern, both made it. Texas, Texas A&M, Houston, all made it. Duke, NC State, UNC Asheville, all made it. Hell, even South Florida, who does not care about college basketball, not only has two teams in the tournament, they have two teams in the Sweet 16.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do, Matthew. Within...
They're right around the corner.
30 miles of each other?
You have South Florida represented by the U and by FAU. So getting two teams, Power Fives, mind you, into the tournament, that's a real thing that exists in a lot of places. And then on top of that, it can happen where both Georgia and Georgia Tech make the land of Oz. And then a Kennesaw State or a Georgia State or a Mercer or a Georgia Southern, you can get more than two. Now, I don't know when that day comes. I don't know the date, but I'm here for all of it. And if it happens, I'll hop in the automobile. I'll take a trip. I'd love to.
Get signed up at Atlantic Forts Travels or something like that.
I'm so jealous that the Auburn and the Georgia and the Auburn and the Bama fan, they had the same weekend of like, two Bama games, an Auburn game in the NCAA tournament in Birmingham.
First of all, the residents of Boca would say, we are not from Dade County. They would make that very clear to you. Secondly,
blow my whistle, baby. Oh, sorry.
Do you know how part of that unfolds? Mm. You have one of the teams damn good enough to be a one seed and maybe the first overall seed, although I think they laid that on Purdue, maybe. Or maybe it was Houston.
Well, that didn't age well.
But you were a one seed. Throw them a bone. Uh-huh. The Auburn thing, I said, Auburn did not do anything to really deserve that this year. Maybe they were trying to pack the BJCC out. I don't know.
But that's a big deal. If I can work some regional proximity stuff, yes, I'm doing it.
And if you've been good for the last 5 years, including the only Final Four in program history, and you got Bruce Pearl, you know what you are? You're a draw, and they'll say, bone throw. And Alabama was a one seed. They say, bone throw.
If it's a weekend and it's Birmingham, I'm going to go. There was only one time I can remember.
Easy, man, easy.
Actually, two times. But there was a time Georgia State played in the Omni in, like, 1990 against Arkansas.
That's right.
The host was Georgia Tech, so Georgia State could play there. There was also a time when Georgia Tech played in the Omni against Richmond in the mid-80s, and they might have played LSU.
They played LSU on a Thursday night in 86.
But think about that. Yeah. In your home city, it's like, oh, my God, we can go watch our NCAA tournament game. That world exists, and I pray to you, Damon Stoudemire, and I pray to you, Mike White, and I pray to you, Amir Abdur-Rahim, and I pray to all of you. Can we have one of those just sometime where we get a couple of teams in, driving distance, make a weekend out of it? Yes, we'll take a trip, everybody.
you know, how much fun I had this weekend watching UConn and Princeton and San Diego. I got excited. Kansas State was kind of a fun team. Mm-hmm. You had fun watching college basketball this weekend. If it would have said, like, Panthers across the chest.
Oh, that's more
or
fun.
Jackets across yes. the chest. Like, all right, I'm in. Fort Valley Rams.
You watched me, by the way, watch Kennesaw State the other day. I was all in the Kennesaw.
Yes,
it was
absolutely.
Gave me a local team that I was super bummed that they liked. Give me a local reason. It's been forever. All right, coming up next, one draft prospect is in particularly showing just how much upgrading the Falcons roster is needed.
The roster boner, the roster bonus,
that's a tricky one. Well, you don't have to repeat it.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah. We'll talk about this one particular draft prospect and how much he shows the Falcons roster needs to be upgraded this season. We'll talk about roster bonuses next.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.